Blog Talk Radio.
If you could be a superhero, would you be just this guy? Making sure people get what they deserve, especially women who lie. Like if a wife left her husband with 3 kids and no job, to run off to f***ing Hawaii with a doctor named Bob. You could skin them and drain them of blood so they die. Oh, see that motherfucker, Bob? Then you would be just this guy.
Hey, guys. This is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with...
Anthony Sinandres.
We got new music, Anthony.
I heard.
Yeah. If anyone doesn't know, that's Stephen Lynch with... he's a singing comedian with his song Superhero.
Well...
Yeah, that's what that was. So if anyone was... But, yeah, good music, good stuff. Today we're talking about comics, another episode of This Week in Comics. So, yeah, you know, definitely. If you want to talk to us about any of our comics while we are talking about them, call us. Our number is 718-664-9468. The number again is 718-664-9468. I mean, if you hear us talking about the comics and you think, hey, you know what, I want to buy that one, but I want to actually, or not, and I want to hear Matt and Anthony's specific, either recommendation or maybe us telling you, no, stay away. Whichever one, call, And today we're going to be talking about 4 comics specifically, but, a lot will be said because there was a lot to say this week. Not a lot to read, but a lot to say. New Invaders number 6 is the first that we'll be talking about. So what's funny is last show that we did, when we talked about All New Invaders, which, by the way, involved the Invaders, which included, Captain America, Bucky, Namor, and the original Human Torch, right? So they got together for the first 5 issues, and what I would consider the arc you can skip.
Pretty much.
If you want to read Invaders, you don't actually have to read that. Just know that John Hammond is alive again, and he's with the Invaders, and then call it a day and pick up issue 6. Because honestly, I have to say, we were going to drop this if this wasn't going to be as good. And for this 1 week at least, it's kept us going, hasn't it?
See, this is my theory. This is what always happens. Right. Whenever you or me are on the verge of dropping a book, the next issue, for some reason, no matter what title, is always amazing. And we go on.
Yeah.
And this cycle repeats until we are bankrupt.
Basically. I mean, the thing is, it's just weird, because I know when you first read this issue, you actually thought, well, I'm going to drop it. Why did you say that?
See, it's weird, because when I first read it, first off, I was not really, I wasn't really in the mood to read it. I was like, well, I read the others, let me just read it, finish off the week of what I got. And it didn't really do anything for me, because the book is about the Invaders, and we had only one Invader in it. Which isn't, it's not technically that big of a problem, because books have done that with other teams, like Avengers and all that. But there was just something about it that didn't really click with me the first time. But then I reread it before the show, and I really liked it a lot more, because I was really more into it, and I got more of, the little Easter eggs that were all throughout, and I love that Coulson's in it now. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think what was great about Coulson was just, John thinks why the Human Torch, why are they staring at me? It's because he's probably your biggest fan. He doesn't hate you or anything. He probably loves you even more than you
would ever
imagine.
He just wants you to sign his trading cards.
Exactly. It's one of those things, where and then also we had the introduction of Radiant, or Radiance, Super Radiant friend, And she's been everything. She's been in. I love that, by the way, they chose her Japanese name to be so out there in the translation that it would make sense. They would call her Supreme Radiant Friend.
Yeah.
They're just being... No, that's fairly accurate. And she had her appearance, and it was nice because, I actually want to read something about her now. Same thing with, Jiro in regards of, Batman Eternal. I would read a one-off, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's a very interesting character, and I think there's a lot about her that, I would like to delve into more.
Yeah, I mean, I think they should definitely give her at least a one-shot issue. I mean, they could even go so far as to make it a Fear Itself, not a Fear Itself, God, no, an Original Sin tie-in.
Right. That would be nice, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, from the looks of it, though, would you happen to, you know, illuminate us on this? Is she a new character?
I'm going to go ahead and say yes, only because I have never heard of her before.
Yes,
but the only reason I'm kind of iffy on that is because the writer, James Robinson, even if you read the first 5 issues like we have, he's notorious for picking out stuff from way, way back in, like, the Golden and Silver Age that we've never heard of, such as the God's Whisper.
Yes, such as the God's Whisper. Yeah, according to... I mean, I'm looking around, and I looked around previously, but sadly wasn't able to enough. It looks like she isn't as big as we thought, apparently.
Really?
Interesting. Yeah. No. Either way, apparently she's newish. But at the very least, they're using a character that is already pre-established to make a new character, because that's actually really nice. Like, it's good. Like, make new characters, please. We don't need to in 50 years just have Batman and it being the same Robin again. Like, no, it's good. Make new characters.
Comic book.
But yeah, and also I do enjoy I enjoy the little interactions between her and her her manager, right? Where he's like, you know, hey, how about you don't really compare yourself to a mutant? You know? because you can really it's the subtle things that make you understand, like, oh, there's always mutant trouble, there's mutant trouble going on, without actually saying, let's have a quick cut to Mutantville. No, we don't want to, you know, like, focus on the main story, and I like that.
Yeah, I love that even went so far as, like, well, let's change your name, because that's a bit too many syllables.
Exactly, just, you know, a little fun stuff like that. I mean, there was a few things here and there. I mean, I think when we had, when we had John, make a few really older references, you know, where, like, it was, like, a few of, how do you say, like, older, you know, movies and things like that. It was very funny.
Yeah.
You know, like, when he mentioned, you know, Cheers, I think, where it's just like, that's old. You're old. You know? I mean, it's not, so I'm sorry if you're listening and you're like, Cheers wasn't old, I was around. Well, we were too, but it's old. Still, little things here and there. You know, the only thing I think that I found to be a big issue, and it's the same thing that I find being an issue with Batman Eternal, and even a little bit with the whole Superman Wonder Woman, not even just with Doom, but I think just everything. They like to jump back and forth a teensy bit too much.
That was one of my main issues the first time I read. I was kind of like, wait, so we're here, and now we're here, but I'm so lost. It was a bit easier reading it again, but it's still kind of confusing with all the jumping back and forth.
No, yeah, it's just movies don't do that unless they're making jokes. You know, movies just go, all right, let me tell you how it happened from day one, right? And then they'll start from day one. And then maybe there'll be a narration popping in saying, but hold on a second, right? But, I mean, usually you don't see, and if it is, it's rather short or it's still... There's something easier to follow when something maybe like True Detective will do that a bit, right?
Like,
especially
even
if characters look older. Right?
Yeah, even in Iron Man 3, in the beginning, when they went back to, like, New Year's, and, like, I think it was, like, 1999 or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah,
and
that's pretty much, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I thought you had an extra point. I was like...
No, you're right.
It was a lot easier.
Yeah.
So, and here it's just like, let me take you back to the beginning. But not really the beginning, more like the beginning of what happened with this girl. And then as he's talking to the girl, it's like, let me take you back to the beginning. It's like, what are we doing here?
Why are we inceptioning the readers?
Exactly. And it just jumped, and also it jumped back, and then it was just like, all right, so then, like, is everything okay? Actually, no. As you remember, you idiot. Like, weren't you there? You know? Like, the place exploded. Oh. Yeah.
Well, that was interesting.
Yes, exactly. I can't even say that this was, you know, again, it was an improvement from what we've got, but I think it was just a bit too much with the jumping and the, you know, and then, like, when you have a backstory in your back, you know, in your flashback, that's a problem, especially when it's not... Like, okay, if this happened in maybe issue number 7, right? And we're still, like, in the groove of, okay, this, we know this is what Hammond is saying happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. But it's just very weird to have it be, to have it jump back in certain panels. Like, okay, so as I was saying to you, sir, this is what happened. And then on the inside, him going, I understand your problem, Radiant. Let me tell you what happened to your grandma. Guys, let's just stick to one thing for right now, okay? Way too much going on. You know, I think that's a big problem. I mean, it's not even as if, I don't think that they should underestimate their readers, but I think for some reason they're just, I don't know, I feel as if they're cramming way too much into this.
Oh, definitely.
You know, way too much into, you know, and that's a problem. It's just, guys, you know, it's weird. You either have stuff crammed into things too much, or you have it stretched out, you know? You don't have things just, you know, it's like, no, guys, just like a nice, normal pace with it, you know? Don't try to stretch things out for, you know, a good 2 years, 3 years. But at the same time, don't, you know, it's weird. Either things are getting rushed, or things are being slowed down, or things are being rushed in a way that it's not even the quality that's dropping, because I don't think the quality dropped in this at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just the fact that they thought, yeah, we got to get a lot of info in here. And that was huge.
Yeah.
You know, that was an issue, you know? But it's okay. You know, I mean, we're still going on with this. It wasn't as bad as it could have been, because I know at first it was funny. You mentioned, well, no Winter Soldier, I'm done. But again, after rereading, you're thinking, well, as long as he appears in this arc, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, I mean, it's partly because I'm Winter Soldier biased because I love the character,
right.
But I'm definitely going to keep going with it for at least another issue or two, depending.
All right. And now we move on to Batman Eternal number 10. Definitely call this when I talk about Eternal. It's eternally something. Not even good or bad. It's just, it's eternally there. I think they want to keep this going for about a good 20 years. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I can see that.
And before you go, but come on, Matt, that's stupid. The rate that they're going now?
I mean, the amount of subplots we're juggling here, they could easily reach 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, think about it, you know, it's funny, because you mentioned that this is the issue that kept you going. This would have been the issue that, for you, might have thought, oh, I don't know, like, you know, but it's okay, but, you know, and this is the issue, you texted me and you said, well, you know, they got me right back into it. Not for me so much.
Really?
I'm trying to think about why now, and it's hard to really, you know, pinpoint a lot, but it didn't make me go like, oh my god, like, it was just, again, like you said, subplots, they were in Gotham, but I felt like nothing got done.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the thing, I felt like nothing really got done.
See, the reason,
and also, sorry, you go.
The reason I said it really got me back is because we're getting a bit, not too much, mind you, but a bit of a break from having Batman on every single page. I think he was in this for maybe 5 pages or so, not counting the Bruce Wayne stuff, which is probably the least we've seen him in an Eternal issue so far.
Oh, fair enough. I was really happy
about that. And they did stick in Gotham for a while, which I was kind of happy about, but then they killed it on the last page where they said what's coming up next.
Yes, no. Which, oh, my God. Also, something else that they kind of, I don't want to say they dropped the ball with, because it's just, all it is different. It's just a bit weird, you know, with what they did. The art style.
Yeah,
I don't know if you noticed.
Go ahead.
The characters, you know, via costume, you know, everyone was costumed. Like Catwoman, Batman, Professor Pig, they looked great. Also, that's a weird lineup of people to say in a row. But they looked great, right?
Yeah.
When you got to actually Bruce Wayne, and Bruce Wayne looks like Shen from the Winter Soldier Bitter March that we've been covering.
I don't even know who the hell Jason Todd just looks like here.
Jason Todd looks like, he just looks like he's like a reject from like a 90s music video.
Alright, let's go with that.
Yeah, actually he looks a bit like Edward Scissorhands, at least with the hair.
Alright, I can see that.
But yeah, I don't know, there's something about the humans in this that I don't like the way they were drawn or how they were. I mean, the commissioner, for a split second I thought, did they put Gordon back in?
Yeah, the art, out of all of them, this was definitely the weakest issue.
But it's funny, too, I don't want to say weakest, I just think that it was different in a way that Batman didn't need. Like, this is an artist, I think, who, if this was an artist put onto Legends of the Dark Knight, would have flourished, and I would have loved, I would have loved his work.
Mm-hmm.
However, looking at it in terms of, you know, we've had a few changes here or there, but nothing is drastic, I think, with the people. Where you can tell who Bruce, like, if I wasn't told that this was Bruce Wayne's mansion, I wouldn't have known that was Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I was told, I'd be like, oh, wait, that's okay, Julia Pennyworth, right, that's Alfred's daughter, and that, or someone related to Alfred, that's Alfred. All right, then who's that guy there? You know? Just,
yeah.
My mansion, I'm Bruce Wayne. Oh. Well, I mean, I guess so.
Yeah. I mean, going back to what you said about him drawing Professor Pig, his henchmen are absolutely terrifying in this.
Oh, yes.
Like,
again,
yeah,
they were done very well.
Especially the guy with the rooster head, or the chicken head, rather.
I thought it was Horseman that freaked the hell out of me. But
Horseman's
freaky,
but chicken head's just like...
Yeah, true. They did a very good job with that. And, you know, and of course, the writing for Pig, too. I think now I'm coming a bit, you know, getting a bit more into this issue while talking about it. You know, some of Pig's lines about trying to see the, you know, how deep whoever's dressed as whoever is in animal history to see how to change them and operate on them is brilliant.
Mm.
You know, it really shows you how he's crazy, but he isn't stupid, you know, because when I first saw Professor Pig, I'll admit, you know, he looks like he can be an idiot, like a country bumpkin. I mean, for frick's sake, he's, you know, Pig, right?
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden it's just, actually, I operate on people. Oh, well, you're weird then. You're really weird. Get him away from me. You know, because he can turn you into a chicken and just call it a day.
Oh, God.
And just walk around with you as a henchman. Because why would you not now? You have a chicken. Your head is a chicken. Like, where else do you have to go? Like, it's great mental manipulation.
Exactly.
You know, so I like that. I feel, again, like nothing got done. Because you can say, hey, Falcone's free. It's like, all right. And he's not the only enemy. Or technically, you know, it's like, okay, so... Then we were just misdirected for X amount of issues. It's funny too because we felt as if it was a misdirection, but in a way, in a weird way, we always knew, because we sat here thinking, so Falcone's the one who made this look as, you know, who made the world look like Darkseid destroyed it.
Exactly.
Oh, maybe it's not Falcone now. It's like,
exactly, like when you said we've been misled. I was like, what a shock. I mean,
exactly.
It's Batman.
And it's their fault, because they gave us a little tiny peek in Batman 28, and then even in the beginning of the series, so the first, you know, panel was just like, that, you know, Bruce Wayne is chained up, you know, out of his mask. He's not even, if I'm correct, he did not have his mask off, because he actually had his mask off, and Gotham was in ruins. Ruins, by the way. Not like, oh, a couple buildings. Like, everything was burning, and you thought, all right, and it looked like the entire world was destroyed. And you're thinking, so Falcone can't do this. But I will say this, though. At first, maybe you thought he could have, because of how they made it seem as if, you know, oh, well, there's no police doing anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, Gotham is going to burn in a couple days. It's already been at least a week. And Gotham looks just fine.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, and it's funny, because people always say something that I used to say, suspension of disbelief, Matt. It's just, you can't tell me that, you know, Gotham's going to burn in a day. You know, this is so bad. All the villains are out. And everything, and you know, and there aren't massive... I mean, hell, you've seen some Batman comics written. Recently, I've been reading something called Batman the Cult from 1988. Not sure if you've read it.
Oh, wow. I have, actually, yeah.
That one man did that.
Mm-hmm.
Why can one man, I know it's different writers and all this stuff, but how can one man, you know, take in most of Gotham and make it a desert because, you know, the criminals are taken off the streets and then murdered in the sewers and some are part of its cult? How can you do that, right? One guy did that. And then with a bunch of villains running around, you know, can't even kill off a city. Really?
I mean, the same thing is kind of happening in Batman Zero Year, where the Riddler essentially took out all the power in Gotham, and it's now just a giant jungle, kind of like I Am Legend.
Yeah, which is an issue because, as you can tell, you know, that's happening across the, you know, we're going to mention, you know, a few times in this podcast about how it feels as if people are not even taking other people's ideas, but people are just not really kind of reinventing the wheel, and it's hard to do that when you have a lot of comics. But it's just, it feels as if they are actually talking to the other person, asking them permission, and then doing the same exact thing. Where, you know, or at the very least, you have it also being written by Snyder. So maybe you need someone else working on this.
Yeah.
You know, where you just think like, oh, well, how can we turn Gotham upside down? Let's make it anarchy. Even to the new...
Well, Snyder technically is working on this as well as Zero Year. The only difference is this one has a few other writers working with him, so they're all kind of collaborating on this.
Yes, but it's upsetting that it all has come down to anarchy yet again.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of who's working on it with him, you know, which is good because maybe they can also help out, you know, some other characters that he hasn't really too much, he hasn't worked with as much as, you know, let's say Batman, right? But it becomes an issue when, again, it's just, what does it come down to? Anarchy! And some could say, oh, it always comes down to anarchy. But it just feels as if, you know, the scales are a bit lesser in certain situations compared to this one, where it's just, you know, the entirety of Gotham. You know, it looked as if it wasn't just Gotham might be hurt a bit. We've gotten the impression that there's a whole new world order, you know,
yeah.
By the time everything is said and done.
And the other
and
main issue...
this new world order is canon, by the way.
Yeah, and I mean, the other main issue with that whole thing of Gotham being in flames and all that is... I mean, suspend your disbelief and all that, but there's a whole freaking Justice League. There's multiple Justice Leagues out there. There's the Suicide Squad. There's, like, dozens of teams in DC. Does nobody have time to help out Gotham?
Yeah,
nobody.
No, because it's funny because, you know, someone will probably bring up the explanation, something that I usually do. Well, Batman doesn't like people in his city. To that point...
Exactly.
You know, to that, unless you're trying to tell me, which DC should just say this, if DC made a Doomed reference in here, I'd be okay. If
yeah,
Doomed,
I was thinking the same thing.
An Eternal reference, I'm okay. Because they are canon, they are in the same universe, so say that and you'll think, okay, yeah, maybe that's why Batman can't exactly help Superman as much as he wants to, and vice versa. But they're not saying that. So in not only now, but in the long run, it's going to look really stupid when someone goes, this was an arc. You know, this was
yeah.
a story that's canon in the universe. Like, the only way that I think they can save Eternal one day is just by saying, jokesies, never really happened. You know? Like,
yeah.
basically doing a reverse killing joke. Where it's just, actually, we'll take it out of the canon. You know? And if they took it out of the canon, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
You know, if you tried to convince me that there were no other heroes, hell, if you made this tie-in with Zero Year, in a way, where it's just, there are actually no other heroes at all, but that.
Mm.
I think, well, okay, that's how it is, you know?
Yeah.
But you can't do that, where it's just, there are no other heroes but Batman. Okay, this is a major event, you know?
Yeah.
This is a major, possibly world-changing event, and I'll say this much. The Justice League has gotten together for less.
Pretty much.
I'll say that much. The Justice League fought Cheetah once. They've gotten together for less.
They fought an author.
Yeah, exactly. Just, I don't think, you know, but, anyway, but enough ranting about that. Let's just rant about, we're still going to rant, mind you, about this before we head off to, you know, move on to Superman Wonder Woman. But I want to mention that, so when they mentioned Jason going off to find Barbara, two things. First off, I don't like it because it feels as if they're trying to actually actively write off other people that could help Batman to make the story go on longer.
Yeah.
So in other words, if the family is in there, it would at least be a bit better. But no, they have to write them. Again, I understand. It is logical. You know, Barbara is going, you know, she wants to get Gordon out of jail. But currently, it's just, okay, either break him out, like literally just rip him out of the jail cell, or help Batman. You know?
Exactly.
But they're writing her in this way where it's just, she has to run away, and then Jason, you have to go after her, so now there isn't anyone who can help Batman in Gotham currently, who isn't Catwoman.
Exactly.
And
Nightwing is supposed to be dead.
Exactly. So that's what I'm saying. So we don't have Nightwing because he's currently we talked about this. He's currently Dick Grayson, Agent of Dick. So he's currently going off to be Agent of Dick right now. So we have him gone, right? We have Damian, who I think is still dead this week, but find out more later. Right? Currently, he's still dead, even though they're really trying hard. Currently, he's still dead, though, I believe. So he's gone. You know, we have Barbara, who's gone. We have Red Hood, who's currently wanting to leave. Or who's being pushed away. We have Batwing, who's still technically in Gotham, but working with magic. So, you know, that's happening. We have Jiro in Japan, or technically, no, I'm sorry, Jiro of Japan in China. So much. Why aren't they giving me this much?
Is Tim Drake still doing the nanotech thing,
yes.
or is he just...
Yeah,
okay, good.
Yeah, he's still doing the nanotech thing that we haven't heard of since in about a month, which is an issue when 4 weeks ago, you know, when they're doing this on a weekly basis, that's a huge problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just, it's terrible. So as I was saying, like, getting back to what I was trying to say, right? So we have them saying, okay, yeah, go find Barbara. And I thought, you know what they're going to do? They're going to freaking jump to South America at one point. This is what they're obviously going to do. The second I read the last word, my anger just... South American Express. Well, golly gee.
Oh, God.
And it's terrible because I understand it is technically plot, but as we mentioned before, they tried to not do tie-ins by making the entire thing just be Batman Eternal. But I have to say, I mean, unless there's that many people that are like you, which are just hardcore, you know, then again, you're not even that hardcore for Batman. There are people who are hardcore to the point where they'll just buy it because Batman's in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it becomes a huge issue when I'm thinking, how many people are going to drop this?
Yeah.
You know, I'm wondering, how many people are just going to sit here and think, no, you know, it's 10 issues. It's been already 2.5 months. How many people are just thinking, maybe not?
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, like, even a friend of ours, Gary, who's hardcore Batman, he's not going to be getting the series anymore.
When did he drop off?
I think he dropped off at, like, issue 5.
And that was even too early, in my opinion.
I think so. But, I mean, I can get it because he's essentially getting every other Batman title.
Which is very interesting because, yes, we both know him. He's a guy who would get every single one. Yet still, he dropped off at 5, and you're sitting here thinking, well, damn, you know, if this guy dropped off, I mean, who else is dropping off to where it's just, you know, and again, you know, so I want to know how far they think they're going with this, and if we're going to find that Batman Eternal ends at issue 20 with a makeshift ending, you know, with something that had to, because this thing could have been so much, but it's the point where you should have made a novel.
Exactly.
Not even going to lie. Like, this would have been a pretty good novel idea.
Yeah, like, as of now, I've seen solicits up to, I believe, August for issue 30 or 40-something, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, man. No, it's just one of those things where it's just, they may want to try and get up to 100 issues on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
And it just won't work, especially when no one can catch up, because it takes about 8 years for them to release a graphic novel.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, the point is that I will, you know, we bitch and we moan, but it's getting better than what we've had, but just not by much. And I think it needs to be picked up before a heavy amount of drops, because no matter how well they do, people aren't going to jump back on.
Definitely not.
Yeah, because if this is a monthly series, then yeah, I mean, hell, I've recommended you Black Dynamite a lot. Read Black Dynamite, and you can technically do it, because $4 an issue, you know, 2 issues so far, $8. If you stop Batman Eternal for a month and then hear it got really good, that is about, let me think, 3, 6, 9, that's about $12 right there, which to some might sound silly, but when you're buying comics on a weekly basis, you can't just throw $12 out to catch up with Eternal. And then if you can't buy the newest one, let's say you're like, you know what, I'll buy this a week or whatever, I'll buy it in 2 weeks or something, you now currently aren't caught up. And hell, maybe by the time you catch up, it'll be terrible again.
Exactly.
People aren't going to take that risk. So they really need to get, you know, do a lot more with this before it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would be the worst thing, I think, because, you know, I will admit, Eternal does have potential.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be a huge problem if all of a sudden it just gets canceled and then they had a whole story to tell and then we learned that their story was really cool, but they just weren't freaking getting to it.
Exactly.
But anyway, we move on to Superman Wonder Woman 9, excuse me, which is also part of Super Doomed.
Super Doomed.
Yeah, that's what it's called. It's not Superman Doomed. It's currently being called Super Doomed. Super Doomed.
Yeah.
Yay. Currently, it is part of Super Doomed. What is it? Chapter 7, Part 94, Issue 110? Is that how they're...
sure, why not?
No, it is... It's all jokes aside, it is Superman Doomed, right? Superman Wonder Woman Issue 9, excuse me, Enemy of the State, Chapter 2.
Yeah.
So again, if you haven't jumped into Superman Doomed yet, don't get Enemy of the State Chapter 1 and think you're okay.
You need to get Superman Doomed Number 1, followed by all the parts of Infected.
Exactly. Which, yeah.
So,
got a bad naming thing here. But anyway,
yeah.
What did you think of this issue?
I actually liked it. I mean, there are a few things we pointed out earlier before we actually got on here when we were comparing notes and all that weren't really that well handled. But I did like it for the majority of it. I liked the... One thing I really did like, but at the same time I kind of am iffy about, was the first page when it's like the internal thing of Clark talking to Super Doom.
Oh, I like that a lot.
See, I liked it. The only thing that I didn't like was like, so it's basically Hulk talking to Bruce Banner.
Yes. Yes, that's the problem. I liked it, but then I realized why I liked it.
Exactly.
And I'm like, wait a minute. I should just pick up Incredible Hulk. Today. Yeah, that's an issue. You know, where it's just you're sitting here like, wait a minute. But I did like it though. I will admit this was the issue. I didn't say this to you over the phone, but I will admit this is the issue that picked up. They needed this pick me up.
Oh, definitely.
They really did. Right, because and it's one of those things where if you worried before, this cracks keep you going. Where like Invaders, you're in the middle, you're thinking maybe I don't know. Eternal, you're thinking, this may be the one. You know, you're like this may be where. But with Doomed, you're like, damn, like this is the one. Right, this is the issue I think out of these four that we're going with so far, which is the one where it's like, all right, they scoop me back in. This was my, But I will say though, it is not my favorite. I want to make everyone know this is not my favorite, because I just, okay, so it might just be me. Maybe I've been reading a lot of comics, you know, really trying to get a lot in, soak a lot in for the past 2 years, that everything's just blending together, because I think everything's blending together. You know, you look at something like with the Superior Spider-Man, or even some of the Marvel, you know, bigger arcs and bigger stories, and it seems as if, and mind you, I love Nisa Marvel, right? But it seems as if they have to to make a quote-unquote good story, they have to sacrifice the hero's common sense and intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it seems as if it's happening here now, which is really bad, because if it's happening all in the same promotion, you can think, well, people trade writers, whatever. When it starts to jump to other promotions, that's an issue. And when I say incompetence, by the way, and I mean this, you know, I just mean in general, like, where you do it, right? Because even, okay, let's clarify. Look at Hesia, right? Which, by the way, loved her. I've actually been reading, Hesia, rather. I've been reading Superman Wonder Woman just because I've been thinking, you know what, I want to read this. After reading the tie-ins, I thought, this would be pretty cool. And I've caught up. It's amazing. I love Hesia. But all of a sudden, you know, she puts on the armor, she goes in to fight Superman, you know, Superman Doomed, Super Doomed, and she just, either it's poor writing, again, trying to, like, you know, making her sound, you know, just either out of character or, again, taking away her intelligence, because she goes up to him and she tells him that she's the one who leaked the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just assume that, okay, some, you know, you might assume, well, she didn't know that the anger is what's fueling Superman. But why would you tell that to him anyway?
Now, me being the biased Superman guy I am, I'm going to come right in now and counteract
that. Okay.
If you go back to, there's the page when she tells him, right? If you go back one page, Wonder Woman essentially comes just out of nowhere. She says, he's not attacking you. Don't you get it? He's not attacking you. Don't do it. Then she said, then Hestia, rather, says, do you not think so? Then watch and tell me that he's safe again. And that's when she goes in to tell him this. And I think it's to provoke him, to make him lash out, to show Diana, you're wrong, he can't be saved.
Therefore,
getting Diana's permission to just kill him.
It's just a thing, though. It's just, I mean, I've seen her, maybe I don't know enough about the character that I should, and I guess maybe that's it, but from the way they've been portraying her, right,
mm-hmm.
It didn't seem as if she would have done this to any other character.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. It feels as if, at all, like, regardless of what's going on, it just seemed as if now, all of a sudden, she has to be the one to try and provoke him into, and it just, and besides, like, why would you want to provoke this person? You know, I mean, yes, he's doing a lot of damage right now. I understand that. And
mm-hmm.
yes, you know, Diana's going to do this. I understand. You know, she's trying to stop the fight. I get it.
Yeah.
But really, you have to do this to try to provoke him to kill him? I mean, it's just, it's one of those things that it feels as if, like, okay, if you didn't read Superman Wonder Woman because you just picked up Superman Doomed, which is another thing, by the way, just like with, you know, Eternal, it's just, or not with, you know, not with Eternal, with All New Invaders or whatever, it's just, you know, it's like, guys, you know, if you're picking this up randomly, it doesn't make a good story, you know,
mm-hmm.
if you're not attached to, you know. So anyway, so you're reading this, and it makes Hestia seem like a really bad person.
Yeah.
Even though she gives the explanation about the world, still, it makes her seem like a really bad person.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a big fan of it. Just something about it, just like you said, it makes it seem like she's trying to provoke him, but in a very mean kind of way, where it's just, again, like, oh, I will make the beast angry. It's a beast. Assume that maybe somewhere Superman is trying to fight for control, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Don't I understand that she doesn't know about the rage fueling thing, but assume somewhere maybe he's trying to fight for control. And honestly, that's not going to, like, it's a weird thing where it's like, if Hestia did that to me, a normal human being, I'd probably try to kill her. And what would she say? He can't be saved. So people get angry.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a thing where I think if Superman was okay, he wouldn't have just laughed it off. Like,
mm-hmm.
if Superman was normal and she said that, you know, oh, well, thank you for your honesty.
Yeah.
I still think he'd be a little PO'd.
Well, definitely. I mean, because even right after she says it, they show that panel of the split between Superman and Superdoom, and he's just like, my turn.
Yeah, exactly. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I... And you could say, oh, he let, you know, Superdoom was let... But again, even without Superdoom, I don't... Oh, why is that a sentence? I don't think that it would have been so much better, which just... He would have just hugged her. I know he said afterwards, too. He's like, listen, you know, like, he's trying to be nice about it. But it's just one of those things where he's also trying to save humanity. Like, if there was a kryptonite cloud there, I feel the Superman would have said, I'm okay now. I'm not,
yeah.
you know, I'm not doomed anymore. But excuse me, I'm going to go punch your friend.
Yeah.
You know, I again, but hey, you know, that was a bit incompetent on her end, in my opinion. But it's okay. They get out of the kryptonite. They're fine. Kryptonite cloud, it's all green, but it's okay. Superman is just fine. He's going to fly away safe. And then the lanterns come. Now
we get three red lanterns.
Yeah, three red lanterns, right? You
the
know,
lanterns
of Moe, Curly, and Joe. You know, we got all three. We got all three lanterns. And what really gets me though is that one of them is Supergirl. Now, mind you, I know nothing of her new series, but hey, she's a lantern now. Whatever it happens, you know, everyone gets paid, right? It's like hair color or something. So anyway, so I mean, Superman once could have had the chance to wear the green lantern ring. That's what they do, you know?
It was a blue lantern. I'm just going to throw it out there.
Yeah, exactly. It just happened, you know? But, then she appears and again says, which is funny because it looks as though from where they are, you can't see the green cloud via the illustration.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have supervision, at least Supergirl does. So
yeah.
It's very interesting how it's just, you really can't see the green cloud of kryptonite, around the Earth, maybe thinking that's something that's also making Clark go a bit off. And again, Clark also looked just fine, so if they saw that he was an issue, like, we saw that he was an issue. He was a monster. He's okay right this second, though. Let's also hit him.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, he looks fine. He's heading away from the Earth. That's clearly a sign of trouble.
Exactly. You know, again, another situation of, I feel like they dumbed these people down. And maybe, again, maybe you're saying, oh, no, but it's hostile. Everyone's feeling anxious. Everyone's getting a bit trigger happy. These are superheroes, though.
Exactly.
Frankly, if you're going to try to argue with me that the superheroes might feel a bit trigger happy, maybe I shouldn't be reading them. Maybe these shouldn't be the people defending the Earth. You know, they should be a bit different, right, than the people who are already put in power that we don't enjoy, like, you know, corrupt cops or corrupt government officials. They shouldn't have that kind of, you know, turn. Where it's just, you know, where it's just, oh, well, they were nervous about the Earth, so they shot at Superman.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden he turned into a monster. Well, gee, I wonder why he turned into a monster.
Exactly.
It's just, and also, before we move on, because it's something that we also brought up with Batman, but it really holds true here as well. Justice League. Does this Earth have one?
Exactly. They seemed so into helping him the first issue of Doomed, and now they're just kind of gone.
Yeah, and it's a major problem because, again, as much as I don't like them, you know, having these stars and these asterisks, you know, telling you what's going on in this issue or this issue, it would actually help right about now.
I mean, I'm pretty sure Firestorm could have done something with the Kryptonite cloud.
Exactly. Bada-bing, bada-bing. You know, there's just, it seems as if there's way too much, you know, going on, and no one's doing anything about it. Because you wanna, and I know not a lot is gonna happen in Superman, Wonder Woman. So there's a chance maybe some stuff will happen in Action Comics. Maybe that was a problem. You're thinking, oh no, it's only right as if Superman and Wonder Woman and, you know, and Hesia are gonna appear in this, other than three Red Lanterns. But that's a huge deal. Where, I mean, hell, we even had Wonder Woman appear in Batman Superman, you know? So, hell, we barely had any Superman in Batman Superman. We really need to have more people in these tie-ins, because you want to tell me that Batman has his city? Fair enough. Superman is turning into Doomsday? This is why you have the League.
This is why you have all of the Leagues.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and it's funny because you can't even say, well, there aren't even any leaks, they don't exist yet. No, according to DC, very few things got rebooted. So there's a lot more going on in the superhero world than we think.
Exactly.
And we haven't been told about any Suicide Squad tie-ins, and hey, maybe those are what's stopping. Maybe in every other book people are saying, I want to help, but I cannot. But at the same time, we're not seeing that because, sadly, we're not reading every other book right now. You know,
exactly.
You can't rely on every other book to help you out, especially when DC doesn't even freaking include tie-ins. That matter. I think this might be one of the only books that will actually care because it's tying in, like, you know, as a full story.
Yeah.
But most of the time, things like, let's say, like Death of the Family, they won't even really include tie-ins. You're just left with, you know, Batman issues X to X, and then it's like, well, good for you. Too bad. Sorry.
Yeah.
So they really need to, you know, do something here. Because, like you said, they were with him for a split second, and then they just stopped caring. As if it's just, hey, it's, you know, I mean, we're not in that part of the world.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was actually 2 issues back. They were like, they had him in the containment lab, and he broke out, and that was it. It's like, should we go after him? Nah, he'll be fine. He's somewhere. It's good. It's good.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you want to argue, oh, well, Superman versus Wonder Woman. It's okay. But still, like, there's just so much that I feel that there's so much, like, this should have a Justice League tie-in. And I'm hoping that it does.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that, you know, whenever the next Justice League comes out, they mention stuff like, we really want to help Superman, but also these villains right here.
Yeah.
You know? Something like that, where it just makes you think, okay, this is what they're doing here. Like, maybe Lex Luthor giving a command, like, you know, we should probably work on this over here, all right? Cool. You know, something along those lines. Because as of right now, what we see is, we have a league. We don't know what we're supposed to do, though. You know, help Superman. How? It's not like we have superpowers. But, you know, I think, I mean, well, but, again, it was a good pick-me-up. It really needed to be there, I think, to really kind of, you know, make this, you know, this story kind of click, you know, make everything kind of work. Where, and again, there were things that didn't work, but it needed it to, because if this issue was anything like the last issue, I mean, you would keep going because you're the hardcore, you know, guy with Superman, but
oh,
I'm
yeah.
sure you wouldn't have liked it.
No, I'd probably just be like, I don't like it, I'm going to get it, but I'm not really into this.
Yeah, which is hard. I mean, it's to the point where had it been on a busy week, you might have maybe left it off for the next week. Whatever, it happens.
Yeah.
You know, it's yeah. But again, got better. Good. Thumbs up. We move on to the last comic book of today. You know, drum roll, everyone. No drum roll. Okay, Amazing Spider-Man 1.2, and the crowd goes wild. This has been very interesting for the last two issues. I mean, it's found a way to go into Peter's past, yet, when you look at it upon further inspection, not go into the past at all.
Yeah.
You know? Which is really... So apparently Peter was a teenager in about 2006. Because YouTube is around.
They have
and headphones are around. Yet he's still using old-timey language and looks like he was dressed in the 1960s. Which is where the original series is based in. You know,
yeah.
So, I mean, they're doing weird things with the setting, but I'm still a big fan of it, I have to say. You know, this issue did not really disappoint me so much.
Yeah.
It was just predictable. So, again, wasn't disappointing at all, but, I mean, the second of Clash appeared, you're like, all right, he's going to become a villain. And it happened the exact way you thought, where it's just, you know, Spider-Man, you know, for some reason, doesn't really want to be a part of, you know, what's going on with, you know, Clash. And of course, he's a super fanboy. So what happens when super fanboys don't get what they want? They become supervillains. It's actually pretty normal. Happens in everyday life, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's, yeah. And you sit here and think, all right, so that's what I thought was going to happen. I think that's really the only thing that was off with this, I feel. You know, because, I mean, the stuff about the timeline, we already knew that was happening. Because that's just, you know, because, again, that happened last issue. It's a bit awkward, though, because it really felt like the 1960s until we see this freaking Clash kit.
Yeah.
And you think, all right, so they just don't care, you know? It's cool, but they don't care because Peter is currently pushing 30. So if he was a kid, he would not be around in the age of, you know, the Internet. So, but again, they wanted to make something where they could kind of bend the rules a bit, but still be in the past, and I think it was working, minus the YouTube and stuff. But either way, hey, you know what? You know, again, it's not even the worst thing in the world. It's just something we're nitpicking, honestly. But, you know, I mean, not too much to say about this, strangely enough.
I mean,
it wasn't that.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like the whole thing as a whole, it's not, like, mandatory reading, like, you have to read this to know what's going on. I just think it's a nice little throwback to what they used to do. It does feel like you're reading one of those old-timey comic books. And my main feeling is that Clash is going to become a big villain in the current Spider-Man arc.
Yes, that's another thing I wanted to say. Just like with Deadpool, with what he did, more as a joke, but they wouldn't have flashbacks to the 70s, as if Deadpool actually existed in the 70s as a comic book character. And they would have these random villains appear for one issue, and then the next issue be how they reappear during an arc in the current timeline, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so they would do that. So you think, oh, they're going to do that with, you know, I clearly assume that they're going to do that with Spider-Man. It's just, you know, it's, like you said, it's like reading an old-timey comic book. It was nice. I think the one thing I didn't like is, like, I hate school counselors for that one reason.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
No, they just trick you.
Yeah.
You know, it's literally one of the things where it's just, you know, and they still try to do it, where it's just, say, you know, don't worry, it's just between us. Oh, I mean, I would understand if his dad did it, mind you. It's like, you know what I mean, where it's like, oh, yeah, my dad did it. Well, we're getting the cops here, you know, but when it's just like, oh, I'm telling code because I'm Spider-Man. All right, I'm going to assume that not only is Flash Thompson, who is the bully, Like, it's just, oh, my God, who's your bully? I want to assume that your bully did it. And then I'm going to tell him. And then I'm going to have him apologize to you.
Increasing
his anger. And then everything's going to be okay.
Exactly.
But that's just, but hey, it happens. So I can't even, I'm not even saying it's a bad writing thing. It's actually fairly accurate, which is very bad.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my God, it's just great. It's just like, it's literally telling the kid, if you weren't worried about getting bullied now, then don't you worry. Actually, that bullying that you just, like, don't worry about that old bullying you had, because it is nothing compared to what's going to happen to you.
Essentially.
Well, thanks. Yeah, well, thanks, Mr. Guidance Counselor. You're kind of a piece of shit. Kind of. I am a piece of shit.
It says so on the nameplate.
Exactly. Oh, well, I mean, yeah, I should have known. By the way, I don't know why, but it's just when Aunt May looked into his room, I know that it sucks because they're trying to say she found out that he's Spider-Man. But she obviously hasn't.
It's like with Batman Eternal, when that issue when they played it up like Catwoman was going to die. Well, no, she's not, because we saw a few in Batman 28 that she doesn't. So all sense of suspense is lost.
Who do you think is reading Eternal and who do you think is reading Spider-Man 1.2? Think about it. Of all things that someone who isn't a fan of Spider-Man would randomly pick up, they would pick up a 0.1 and a 0.2. You know, issue recently.
Exactly.
Someone who just walked into a comic book store. What should I read if I've never read Spider-Man ever? Read Spider-Man 1.1 and 1.2. Like, do they really expect that people who are thinking, she may have, like, I'm sitting here just thinking, she found a massive porn collection. You know, like, she found something majorly bad. Like, she's like, oh my God, you know, Peter works in porn. Like, something has to be majorly, you know, bad to her sensibilities. Either that or she sees, like, a picture of, like, Flash and Peter, you know, what's it like, shaking hands, but it's a weird angle, so it looks like they're making out. Something. Where she has to be like, I'm old, and my sensibilities are crushed by this. But she could not have found his outfit.
No shot.
And if she did, if for some reason she did, Peter's kind of like, you know, talk his way out of it. Oh, it's a Halloween costume. Oh, okay. And then we move on with our freaking lives.
Yeah. I mean, all they show her looking at is an open window.
Exactly. And then you see, by the way, but honestly, it's weird. I'm like, I look at the tree, too, and I'm sitting there thinking, did she find his Evil Dead collection? Like, what? Like, all I see is the tree, and I don't know. Like, it's just weird. You know, it's just, and she said it, like, that's why I think it was a porn collection. Here the way I read it, right? So again, keep in mind, I mentioned porn, right? Look at all of this in here. It all makes sense now. Where you've been going, what you've been doing, Peter. He is buying a lot of porn. That's all it is. You know?
Yeah.
I throw this out as a joke, but seriously, it's just weird because it's just what is it supposed to be? His outfit. Like, really? Like Aunt May did not find out that Peter Parker was Spider-Man in whatever year they're currently in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in whatever, you know, it's like,
I mean, like,
you know,
whatever
what year
they're currently in, it's like, oh, I'm just building tech for Spider-Man. I'm his employee.
This series should have started with, you know, a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
On Earth 27.5.
Yeah, that's how this should have started. But well, I mean, we make jokes, but I have to say that I think Amazing Spider-Man 1.2 may have been not the most reliable, the happiest,
mm-hmm.
brought me much joy
mm-hmm.
compared to everything else.
Yeah.
So thank you, Amazing Spider-Man 1.2. I think you won today. Woohoo, you don't win anything. So. But which one do you think won today? If you had to choose one out of the four that won.
Removing all personal bias, I'd give it to Spider-Man, actually, because it was just, it's a fun read. You can't really complain about it because it doesn't mean too much of the modern-day continuity. So
yeah.
It's just a fun little read to go through.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's funny how, you know, I hope at least everything else didn't sound like nitpicking, but when I brought up something about Spider-Man, it did. I hope, because everything else has things, like not even little things, just things. With
yeah.
Spider-Man, it's fun.
Yeah.
That's good. You know, we need that. So keep on being fun, Amazing Spider-Man 1. Series. And I actually am curious as to how far this is going to go. If they just want to make
3 more issues.
4. Oh, so it is confirmed for 3 more issues. So 1.5 is where it'll end, or 1.6?
1.5.
Okay, so 3 more from issue 2. All right, so yeah. But I'm wondering more so that are they going to do more of this in the future, or is this like the end? You know, that's what also intrigues me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so, I mean, good stuff, right? Good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I would say good stuff. So, before we wrap up, you, personally, Anthony, you have a blog, or you're not a blog, sorry, you have an Instagram where you do custom figures, you post your custom figures, and then people can PM you and talk to you about prices and what custom figures they want to do?
Yes, I do.
You do? Okay, so you have one of these that I totally didn't know about, wink, wink. No promotion. So you have this. Tell me, what's it called?
It is called Geek for Life Blog, with the number 4.
Right. Geek for Life Blog, which is your Instagram, and as I said, you post pictures of the figures that you customize yourself based on other artwork, you know, and so let's say you want to make a Winter Soldier from the comics, but base it on the mold and the build of a Winter Soldier a figure that was made on the movie lineup, right?
Exactly.
So that's what you would do. So and
yes.
You can do, but not just with Winter Soldier. I mean, you've made magic from what I've seen. Like, tell some of our listeners what you've done.
I've done an Optimus Prime, a Winter Soldier. I've done one or two Superman, some Spider-Man. The list goes on.
Right, right. All right. I mean, and of course the list goes on. And if you want to know the list, you know, message him on Instagram. You know, I mean,
yeah.
and talk about prices, you know, because I see some of the stuff that he's done, and it's pretty damn amazing.
Thank you.
Speaking of amazing, actually, there is no tie-in. We're playing our music now, everyone. Have a good
yeah.
day.
Yeah?
Yeah. Why not? Thank you guys for listening to those guys.